You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Pastor Rhonda. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I don't know my heart to take a break from where we were for tonight. When I opened my Bible this morning, the Lord said, change it up. So how many of you know he's the boss? Never quite know what you're going to get when you go to Cornerstone, but that's a good thing. God's always up to good things. So I had it on my heart tonight to start in Matthew chapter 28. So that's where we're going to go. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. It said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is after his resurrection. He's about to ascend up to the Father. And he said, all power is given unto me. If he has all power, how much does the devil have? Does the Bible lie? Does the Bible exaggerate? If it says all, it means all power. All power. If you look at it in the original language, it's all power, all authority, all might, all right, all, I forget what else. But it's all the good stuff. How many of you know he's got all the authority in heaven and in earth? Therefore, verse 19, he said, go ye therefore, because I do, because I have all that authority, you go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 28, 18 from the Message Bible. It says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. So go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you, and I will be with you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. I tell you, this scripture says we're to go and teach and train all nations the truths that he's entrusted to us now in the Word of God. Aren't you glad God instructed you? Aren't you glad you know the truths that you know? You know, there are whole places in the world, and we're going to look at one of them tonight, where people know salvation, and that's just about all they know. And thank God they know salvation, but they don't know a fraction of the word that you know. You've forgotten more than a lot of people in the whole world ever knew. They need us. They need us to go. They need us to tell them. And you know, this church was birthed with a strong missions heart. From the very first offering that ever came into this place, literally the very first offering, 10% has been sent to the nations from that offering through these 25 years so that the nations can be evangelized, so the people of the nation can be taught, so that the people of the nations can be trained. We've taken teams from this church all over the world. I think at last count, I had personally ministered in 30 some nations. God cares about the world. And because God loves the peoples of the world, we have to love the peoples of the world. Oh, this is not in my sermon tonight, but I was praying one time when I was in Bible school, and I had a mini vision, and I saw just this incredible mass of people. I mean, people as far as you could see in every direction. So many, they didn't even look real. It just went on forever. And the Lord said to me, he said, Rhonda, what do you see? I said, Lord, there's so many people. It's just a nameless, faceless crowd of people. He said, Rhonda, I know every one of them. I love every one of them. His love for the people of the nations of the world, he was downloading into my heart. And I just sat there and cried as I almost, to me, it seemed like I had my ear against the chest of the Lord. And I could hear his heart. The world. The world. As his heart beat, it was beating for the world. The world. The world. Pastor, I was planning to spend my life in the nations of the world. Most of you know, I didn't particularly immediately want to marry Pastor Mark. Because I had my face set like flint towards winning a certain nation to Jesus Christ. And if the Lord hadn't so supernaturally intervened, I might have considered him as a distraction from hell. To keep me out of the mission field. God had to supernaturally intervene. Pastor Mark, some of you may not know this, he thought he was going to spend his life in the nations. I was called to a third world country, he thought he was going to Brazil, have beach ministry. That's that hang loose island thing. Yes, they don't have an island, but, you know, he was going to be called to the beaches of Brazil. Tough gig, man. He wanted to have a Bible school and have teams come over from the U.S. that he would host, and he really had planned to do that. How many of you know the Lord separately put the nations in our heart and then brought us together so that we could pastor with a missions heart? Listen, God brought us from the nations back here to Madison, Alabama. I was in a church in Orlando when Mark and I met, and we were talking on the phone, and I started to say we were dating, but we never really dated. I don't know what we did. We talked on the phone. And the pastor that was there, when I was talking to him about it, and I said, you know, I thought I knew what I was doing. I was going to the mission field. I had it all planned out. I thought I knew what God wanted. And now there's this pastor calling me, and I don't even know what to think about it. And, you know, and God, all of a sudden, he's saying my husband's on the way. And I'm like, what husband? I'm not getting married. And I was, you know, my brain was twirling. And he said, Rhonda, this pastor that I was talking to, he said, I don't know what's in Madison, Alabama, but this I know. If God sent you there, there's something going on in Madison, Alabama. Because, you know, what do I know about Alabama, Madison, or, you know, my eyes are on the world. Madison, the world. Do you understand? But God brought us here so that we can reach the world through here. You know, Reverend Torad in India, every time he would come, he would say, from the pulpit, he would say, I only have one thing against this man. He stole my daughter. And I think he was only half kidding. Because he told me just a few years ago, he said, he calls me Rita. For reasons I understand, Pastor has shared with you on occasion, if you say my name wrong in that country, it's close to a curse word. So they rename me. So he calls me Rita. And he said, Rita, I finally get it. He said, you could have stayed in our guest house and been a blessing to us and to the peoples of this area. But God had a world vision. And from Madison, you're touching the world. That's what we're called to. Our church reflects that. I love that. I look around and I celebrate such diversity here. We look like heaven. We look like heaven. The last time I counted, and that was way back before, a couple years before we moved out of the A-frame, we had first-generation immigrants from 17 nations represented. That's when we were running half of what we're running now. I haven't counted recently, but nations are drawn to us, and people have come to us, other ministers, and say, how did you do this? And we say, we didn't do anything. The nations are in us, and because we love everybody and we love the peoples of the nations of the world, they're drawn into this place. But we have a responsibility to the nations of the world. And for the last 25 years, we've supported missions. That's, if you don't know, that's what all those flags are. They're flags where we support missionaries. So while you're sleeping, your money's still working, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Underneath every one of those flags, there's a picture of the people we support in the nations we support them. We take team trips all over the world. We are doing exactly what that portion of scripture instructed us to do: teach them and train them and reach them for Jesus Christ. If you don't know, now you know. That's how this place even got started. God brought Mark and I from the nations where we intended to spend our lives and planted us here so that this can be a sending base, so that this can be a place where people are sent around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a very unique situation going on with our Bible Institute internationally right now. It has been and is being used in many different nations of the world. And I want to share with you about one of the newest additions to Bible Institute International, and that is a campus of our Bible Institute that has just opened up on Easter Island. Easter Island. Wow. Easter Island is a very small island located out in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Ocean. Can you put up the map, guys? Oh, see Easter Island just a little bit above the 30? Clear out there. Okay, now, 2,000 kilometers is how many miles? Come on, you. It's a whole bunch. I don't even know either, but it's a whole bunch of miles. Matter of fact, I have the statistics here. It's a landmass, Easter Island, of approximately 63.2 square miles, and has approximately 7,750 residents. According to Wikipedia, it is one of the most remote inhabited islands in the world. The nearest inhabited island around Easter Island is an even smaller island with about 50 inhabitants that is 1,289 miles away from Easter Island. That's the nearest inhabited landmass to them. The nearest continental point is in central Chile, which is 2,182 miles away. They are 2,182 miles out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, nearly 1,300 miles from even any other inhabited island. Oral tradition in the islands say that it was first colonized in approximately, depending on who you listen to, 300 or 700 AD, when two canoe loads of people arrived from Polynesia. That means they started out on like the Australia side. Who knows how many thousands and thousands and thousands of miles they traveled in dugout canoes. My Lord, and arrived at this island in 700-ish AD. When they arrived, there was one man on the island, and there's no saying how he got there. My personal guess is shipwreck, because there is nothing anywhere near it. But nonetheless, from that time, the island has been inhabited. And I said all that to make the point that Easter Island is a very small, very remote island, literally out in the middle of nowhere. And they have traditionally not been very open to missionaries and the gospel because of some bad things that happened in the past. How many of you know sometimes missionaries do dumb things? And if what I read online today is true, and I'm not casting shadow, or what they call it, shade, not shadow. I'm trying to be cool, and I totally failed. It was like an epic fail, okay? I'm not throwing shade on anybody. I'm not throwing shadow either. But there were some missionaries in the past who did some dumb things and you know, grabbed land and tried to take the land from the people. And I mean, because of all that, they're not very open to missionaries, is my point. So the gospel has gone in. There are some churches, but not much going on in the island. But God. God has supernaturally opened the door to this remarkable place, to our Bible Institute. A few months ago, Pastor Maria Teresa got a call from a pastor on Easter Island. Easter Island's been on Pastor's heart for a long time. But anyway, she got a call from a pastor on Easter Island. And 4 years ago, another minister told him about our Bible Institute that was in the mainland of Chile. And he heard about it, didn't think much about it, forgot all about it. But he was seeking God. And he said, you know, Lord, I want more of you. He was seeking God with all of his heart. How do I find more? How do I get more? I need to know more. Father, I need more. And he remembered what that man had told him 4 years ago, that we had a Bible Institute in Chile. And so he called Pastora Maria Teresa from Easter Island, and he said, can you come and bring Bible Institute to our island? How many of you know that's good when the nations call you? So supernaturally, God reminded him of that conversation. Supernaturally, God opened that door. So Pastor Maria Teresa, just a few months ago, she went to Easter Island, took the stuff that they needed to do Bible Institute. She took all the books. She took all the classes. They put them on a hard drive because the internet, you know, they're in the middle of the Pacific. I suppose they have internet. I don't know. But anyway, it needed to be done by hard drive. So they put the classes on a hard drive, and she took it over with her when she went. And she met with them, and they began Bible Institute just a short while ago, a couple months ago, with 8 students on Easter Island. Glory to God. She was able to present the vision, and they were open to it. She was there when the first class of Bible Institute happened. And during that first class of Bible Institute, the very first class they had was Pastor Mark's class on foundational doctrines, the doctrines of faith. And she said when the class was being brought forth, that she heard somebody weeping behind her. But she didn't want to embarrass them, so she didn't turn around to see who it was. But after the class was over, the pastor got up and said some things, and she knew it was him that was crying, because I guess he was still crying, or it was obvious he'd been crying. And he said, I got it. For the first time in my life, I get it. Faith is now. Faith is now. You have to believe you receive now. You have to, and he got it. He got it, and he just wept and wept and wept. Well, one of the books that is for the second semester, she accidentally brought with her. And that book is Christ the Healer. So he said, can I have that book? Even though it's not technically time for us to get the book, so she gave him the book. And he went home and devoured this book. And I have a video that he and Pastor MT's staff made. It begins with him singing a song of thanksgiving to God in his Rapa Nui way, in his Rapa Nui language. And then he takes the time to tell us what happened to him after that first class and after his first night of reading this Christ the Healer book that Bible Institute took into him. So you'll have to really pay attention. Now listen, he is not speaking English, so you can't understand him, okay? So don't give up. And really, I think after he talks, Pastor MT talks in Spanish at first, and then she switches to English, okay? So just listen for the English, all right? All right, Let's watch the video. And I wanted also that those that were with me would learn the word of God.
Muchas veces uno tiene mucha experiencia y a veces Dios le revela la palabra de Dios.
Many times you have a lot of experiences and the Lord reveals to you the word of God that you read.
Pero es muy importante ordenar los conocimientos que uno tiene.
But it's very important to order the knowledge that you have.
Ordenar y aprender más de Dios.
Order and learn more of God.
Entonces yo llamé a la pastora María Teresa Iglesias.
So I called Pastor María Teresa Iglesias.
Porque yo sabía que ella trabajaba con un instituto bíblico cristiano.
Because I knew she was working with a Christian Bible Institute.
Entonces yo le pedí que por favor ella nos ayudara.
And I asked her if he could please help me.
Entonces, gracias al Señor.
Help us and thank to the Lord.
Ella, mandado por el Señor y por el Pastor Mark.
And sent by Pastor Mark and sent by the Lord, she went to the island.
El Señor la llevó a la isla de Pascua.
The Lord took her to the island.
Y llegando ella allá.
And when she arrived.
Ella me pasó unos libros.
She gave me some books.
Yo empecé a leer el libro. Me interesó leerlo porque decía Cristo el Sanador.
And I wanted to read one of the books she gave me because it said Christ the Healer.
Y yo tuve un accidente.
I had an accident.
Donde yo no me podía parar por sí mismo.
I couldn't get up by myself.
Tuve un lumbago muy muy fuerte.
As a consequence of the accident, I had a very bad
que me tenían que ayudar para pararme.
I couldn't get up and people had to help me.
O si me podía pararme por mi cuenta, tendría que tener silla, sillones donde ir de a poquito pararme con un dolor terrible.
Every time I had to get up by myself, it gave me so much pain and I had to be holding to something.
Y empecé a leer el libro.
I started reading Christ the Healer.
Cristo el Sanador.
Christ the Healer.
Donde hablaba de que las heridas de mi Jesús.
Where it says that the stripes of my Jesus.
Hace 2000 años y tanto atrás.
2000 years ago.
Él había sanado esta enfermedad que yo tenía.
He had healed the sickness that I had.
Entonces al leerlo yo.
When I read it,
dije, mi Cristo me sanó hace 2000 años atrás.
I said, my Christ healed me 2000 years ago.
Entonces dije,
so I said,
soy sano.
I'm healed.
Soy sano. Cristo ya me sanó.
Christ already healed me.
Entonces, mientras yo estaba hablando eso,
when I was speaking those words,
me acordé que tenía que ir al baño.
I got up to go to the bathroom.
No me podía parar por mí mismo.
I couldn't get up by myself.
Y de repente dije, voy al baño y me paré.
So
y
I got up.
Y empecé a caminar al baño.
I started walking towards the bathroom.
Y cuando iba a la mitad del corredor al baño,
and halfway,
dije, ¿qué pasó acá?
I realized something was.
No me podía pararme.
I couldn't. I was changed. I couldn't get up before.
Y ahora estoy caminando así.
Walking.
Me paré sin que me ayudaran.
Nobody helped me and I got up.
Dije, es verdad.
I said, this is the truth.
Cristo me sanó.
Christ healed me.
Él ha sanado todas las enfermedades hace 2000 años atrás.
He has healed all my sicknesses 2000 years ago.
Y yo con mi esposa.
With my wife.
Hace 11 años oraba por ella.
Since 11 years I've been.
Y nunca había sanado.
And she never healed.
Y ella estaba enferma de la espalda, un dolor muy grande.
She was having lots of problems with sickness in her back too.
Ella estaba acostumbrada que cada vez que oraba nunca ella fue sanada.
And she was used to that when I pray nothing happened.
Pero en esta noche,
but that night,
estando con ella,
when was
con su dolor,
beside her she was in pain.
Le dije, Padre.
After I said, Father.
Gracias por haber mandado a Jesús.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Porque mi Jesús hace 2000 años tanto atrás.
Because my Jesus 2000 years ago.
En la cruz.
In the cross.
Sanó la enfermedad de mi esposa.
Healed the sickness of my wife.
Quitó el dolor que tiene mi esposa.
He took the sickness.
Gracias, Padre.
Thank you, Father.
En el nombre de Jesús te doy gracias.
In the name of Jesus I thank you.
Porque ella es sanada ya.
Because she's healed.
Fue sanada inmediatamente por primera vez.
For the first time,
de una oración
was healed.
Que yo había orado por ella.
That time, that
antes day, ella nunca fue sanada. Pero al leer este libro,
but reading this book, Christ the Healer,
entendí
I understood
que aquí hay una promesa grande en la palabra de Dios.
Here we have a promise of the word of God.
Solamente hay que creerla.
We only have to believe it.
Y recibirla por fe.
And receive it by faith.
Tantas promesas.
So many promises.
Tantas bendiciones que Dios nos tiene a través de Jesucristo.
That Jesus has for us.
Yo agradezco.
I thank God.
Al Señor.
I thank the Lord.
Que haya se haya revelado mi pastor Mark.
That my God has used my pastor Mark.
Junto con la pastora María Teresa.
And Pastor María Teresa.
Que haya mandado a ella para.
Thank you, Pastor, for sending her.
En Isla de Pascua.
To Easter Island.
Poder.
So I could.
Aprender.
Learn.
Estas maravillas que están en el libro de la vida.
And I can continue learning this wonderful teaching.
Que es la palabra de Dios.
The word of life that is God's
word. Porque nosotros vamos a aprender.
We will learn.
Vamos a compartirlo con los Rapa Nui.
We will share with the other Rapa Nui.
Con todas las personas que lleguen a Rapa Nui.
With every person that comes to Rapa Nui.
Para hablarle.
To tell them.
De este don gratuito de la vida eterna.
Of this free gift of eternal life.
Que a través de Cristo.
That through Jesus Christ.
Yo predicaba.
I used to preach.
Hablaba de Dios.
I would tell people about God.
Pero limitadamente, un conocimiento limitado.
But I had a limited knowledge.
Pero con esto,
but with these teachings,
con el instituto,
with the Bible Institute,
que el Señor nos está llevando a la isla,
that the Lord is bringing to us in the island,
nuestro conocimiento no va a ser limitado.
Our knowledge will not be limited.
Vamos a ir alimentando.
We will be feeding our lives.
Lo vamos a llenar de alimento de la palabra de Dios.
We will feed our lives with the word of God.
Para compartir.
To share.
A mis hermanos Rapa Nui.
To my Rapa Nui brothers and sisters.
Pastor
Mark.
Primeramente doy gracias al Señor.
First of all, I want to thank God.
Y usted, Pastor Mark.
And you, Pastor Mark.
Pero Pastor María Teresa.
And Pastor María Teresa.
Por llevarnos este conocimiento.
For taking us this knowledge.
De la palabra de Dios.
Of the word of God.
Cristo.
To Christ.
Maundo.
Thank you.
Maundo.
Thank you.
I know some of you aren't used to hearing other accents. Could you understand him? Pretty much. He was instantly healed. He had an accident, had terrible back pain. He couldn't even get up by himself. After he read in the book that Jesus paid for his healing 2,000 years ago, he said it out loud, Jesus, you paid for my healing 2,000 years ago. And without even thinking about it, he got up and was headed to the bathroom, something he couldn't even do before, when he realized he was healed. And what makes me laugh is he said, Pastor Maria Teresa was telling that he says his wife wouldn't let him pray for her anymore. She was very ill too. Because nothing happened when he prayed. So she wouldn't even let him pray anymore before this. And he tells on the video, after he got his healing, he went to her, laid hands on her, and she was instantly healed too. Glory to God. Healings that I believe were confirmed by medical appointments, right? That the conditions that they had are no more. Amen. Glory to God. But a few mornings later, after Bible Institute started, Pastor Maria Teresa has some extended family there on Easter Island, and she was having breakfast with them. On Easter Island, there is one radio station. And this one radio station, everyone listens to because it's where their island news is given and where the government communicates with its people on Easter Island. So everyone listens to this radio station. Well, Pastor Maria Teresa was eating breakfast with her extended family. And though he's speaking Spanish in this video, on the radio was Pastor Robinson. But he was talking in Rapa Nui, which is their language, so she couldn't understand him. But her family said, oh, you're famous now. And she's like, what are you talking about? And they said, right on the radio right now is Pastor Robinson, who has a radio program regularly on the island radio to preach. And he told about how God instantly healed him, how God instantly healed his wife. And now he's using his radio program to teach the truths that he has learned from Bible Institute. So what he's learning, he's now disseminating to all 7,750 Rapa Nui people on this island, all of whom listen to this radio station. Is God so smart or what? God got good teaching into an island that didn't receive missionaries well, and he figured out a way to do it without having to send an actual missionary. Is he smart or what? I'm telling you, they're hearing the truth of the Word of God through the means now of the Bible Institute, and it's being disseminated out into all approximately 7,750 people on that little island so far out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But you know what? God knows every one of those 7,750 people. He loves every one of those 7,750 people. And he has now arranged a way to get the gospel, but not only the gospel, but good teaching into that island to help grow up the people of God. Glory to God. He is so smart. He is so smart. Listen, Pastor Robinson received his healing that he had wanted, needed, and prayed for so long when he got a hold of two truths from the Word of God. I want to go over those with you right quick, right now. Number one, faith is now. You have to believe that you receive it now. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. When you hear that Jesus took stripes upon his back so that you could walk in health, you have to receive it now into your body. Appropriate it. That which he did those 2,000 years ago. Sometimes when I'm praying for people, I say it this way. Father, right now, by faith, we reach back through time and we touch what Jesus did for us when he took those stripes upon his back. That day that his blood flowed down Calvary. We reach back and with the hand of faith, we grab what he did and we pull it into today and we appropriate it into our bodies. And we're healed now by the stripes of Jesus. He did it 2,000 years ago, but it's for you now. It's for you now. Listen to me. If it'll work out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, in Easter Island, it'll work right here in Madison, Alabama. Let's look at some scripture. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, how many of you have a mountain standing in front of you? I tell you, the Bible says, whoever shall say unto this mountain what God said. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Pastor Robinson that night, he just made up his mind to believe what God said. That's all you got to do, is make up your mind to believe what God said. If he said it, I choose to believe it, and it's mine now. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I believe, there's nothing wrong with my leg, I'm making an example. I believe the power of God is working in there right now, affecting a healing and a cure. It's working in me now. I've got it now because I believed. And he said if I would say it, and I believed it, it would come to pass. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, this is Jesus speaking. This is not even just one of the disciples, this is Jesus speaking. He said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You shall have them. Shall is the strongest word in the English language. It's unequivocal. There's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. If he said it, he meant it. All we have to do is believe. Amen? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you received and you shall have it. Glory to God. The second thing he got a hold of is that Jesus bought and paid for our healing when he died on the cross. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? This entire chapter is prophetic of the suffering of the Christ. It said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I don't think I'll ever read the scripture without hearing Sister Opal in my ears say, the arm of the Lord is revealed to the one who believes. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The one that believes the report. The one that believes the report. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Let's look at that. Well, let me read one more, and then we'll go back and look at it in the Amplified. But he was wounded, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. We are healed. We're not trying to get healed. We're not trying to get God to do something. He already did it. And he not only already did it, he said it's already been appropriated into us. It's already been appropriated into us. With his stripes, we are. We are. Not we will be. Not we might be. Not we could be when we get to heaven. No, we are. We are healed. God already calls it done in your body. He calls it done in your body. He calls it done in your body. With his stripes, we are healed. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter how many times hands have been laid on you. Doesn't matter how many times you tried to believe. He said, it's yours. He said, it's yours. In the Amplified of verse 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses and diseases and distresses, not diseases, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. I'm gonna put my glasses on, as if with leprosy. Ah, there it is. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now listen, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. How many did he heal?
All.
How many?
All.
He healed all. He healed all that were sick. Why? Next verse. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, quoting what we just read in Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus bought your healing at Calvary, just like he brought your forgiveness. How many of you are born again? Have your sins forgiven? You know you're going to heaven. Listen, that same faith, that same just blind leap of faith that caused you to just believe what he said when you heard that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. In order to believe that, you had to take a leap of faith and choose to believe. How many of you know in that before that you might not have even felt like you were saved? Maybe even afterwards you didn't feel like you were saved. I remember so many times I'd go to the altar as a kid and repent. And I wake up the next morning and not feel any different. And I think, dog, I thought I got it that time. How many of you know feelings are foolish? Feelings are the arena of the devil. Doesn't matter how you feel. Matters what the word says. Matters what the truth is. So I'd go to church and I'd get born again. You know what I mean? I'd go down and repent again and see if I got something that time. And, you know, sometimes I'd wake up the next day and not feel saved. But how many of you know it's a legal fact? It's a legal fact. It doesn't matter how you feel. You know, I don't necessarily know that it happened to me, but how many of you know after Mark and I went to the altar, made a covenant before God, got married, signed all the papers, went on our honeymoon, how many of you know it wouldn't matter whether I felt married when I woke up the next day or not? It's a legal matter, and it's done. It's a matter before God. It's a matter of covenant. It's a matter of covenant. It's a legal matter now. That's what healing is. It's a legal matter. Bought and paid for and available to you. It's a legal matter. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter whether you feel like you got it or not. I double dog dare you. Take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith. I believe. Praise and worship team, if you'd come. I believe that Jesus purchased my healing 2,000 years ago when he took those stripes upon his back. And Father, tonight I choose to believe. I choose to believe. Just as I took you as my Savior, tonight I take you as my healer. I receive it now. It's mine now. It's working in me now. Because you said so. Because you said so. And I choose to believe. Glory to God.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.